Ladies and gentlemen, here she is now. Let's get together and meet that very delightful, that sultry siren of the Southland, her lovely Betty Page.
The official Betty Page podcast is a platform to discuss the captivating life of the legendary icon. We'll also explore her profound impact on pinup culture, fashion, body positivity, mental health, and more.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the official Betty Page podcast. I'm producer Ben. I think I'm going to go by producer Ben from now on, if that's okay, because it's just better than Ben. So producer Ben here, welcoming everyone back. Hopefully you are a repeat listener. If you're not, welcome. There's plenty of other episodes in the past you can dig out and listen to. But hey, in the meantime, here are our hosts, Mark Morey and Tori Rodriguez. Guys, is it as cold where you're at as it is where I'm at right now?
It's I'm in Florida and it's cold here.
Right. That's a serious weather system. This morning when I woke up, it was 4 degrees. Right now we're up to about 23, I believe. And this is Tennessee. So this is not normal.
Right. So I'm probably somewhere in the middle there, cause I'm in Metro Atlanta. And so today at peak sunshine time, it was like maybe 40 degrees at highest. So
that's cold for Atlanta though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're happy to be here with another official Betty Page podcast, and we want to just touch on a couple of news items. One is Olivia has designed a new great Betty Page statue. It's my understanding it's not out yet. I did post some images of it on some of the Betty Page Facebook pages, so you can catch it there. And so we're really thrilled about that. I mean, Olivia is the ultimate Betty Page artist. So,
oh yeah,
you know, absolutely. It looks amazing, and it's going to be produced by Sideshow Toys, and they put out really quality work. So
nice.
I am excited about that for sure.
And then there's the Bunny Yeager documentary. I don't remember the title. Do you guys know the title of that?
Naked Ambition, I believe.
Okay.
So good.
Yes. Betty Page. Yeah. So I'm sure Betty Page is prominent in that. The filmmaker has agreed to come on our podcast. So we're going to be doing a future podcast with the guy who made the new Bunny Yeager documentary. And of course, I know a little bit because he got some stuff from me to use in his documentary. So we're looking forward to seeing the documentary and talking about it on the next podcast and maybe showing a few scenes from it.
That would be amazing.
Definitely. And of course, for me, like I always think about how Bunny really brought Betty outside, you know, because like a lot of Betty's famous like outdoor shots and beach shots and all that good stuff were
Bunny Yeager. Bunny Yeager shooting Betty on the beach are the best Betty Page images, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I've always thought the Jungle Betty pictures are some of the most powerful modeling pictures ever taken. They're just, they speak a million words. So I can't wait to see that documentary. I can't wait till it's streaming or in a local theater. I don't know if it's, I think it's doing the circuit right now, I believe.
Yeah, it's on the film festival circuit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Yeah, I can't wait to see that and to talk to the filmmaker about it.
Yep. And then, Ben, what's going on in Nashville?
Well, I guess we can call this the Nashville beat. I've got some breaking news out of Nashville. The federal government has announced that the Estes Kefauver, and Betty fans will know a lot about that guy, the Estes Kefauver federal building is up to be sold to the highest bidder, be it a developer, be it the city of Nashville, whoever, and it might possibly be torn down. Now, what's significant about that is that that building is literally across the street from Hume Fogg High School. So the symbolism is heavy with that. So we'll see how that goes. I imagine they're going to sell it sooner than later, because when they want to sell something, they sell it.
And the symbolism is significant because Senator Estes Kefauver, who was running for president, had a hearing about juvenile delinquency, as he called it in those days, and hauled Betty and her photographer, Irving Claw, before a Senate committee. And really, it's some kind of karma or justice that all these years later, her monument goes up in front of Hume Fong High School, and across the street, his building is going to be sold and hopefully torn down.
It's a, It's a really square building. And I mean that in both ways. Like, it's square. Like, it's just a big square building. There's not much to it. And, you know, square, you know, the old saying. But, yeah, I can't wait to see what happens with that. But you never know. I think it's pretty weird.
So Betty just couldn't tolerate being that close to him. So she willed this through her her spirit, just because of all your work in that historical marker there.
Betty's still making waves.
That's right.
I believe so.
I love it.
Well, who do we got on the podcast today, guys?
Well, we've got our very, very special guest, Ron Brim, who is Betty's nephew and co-author of Betty Page, The Lost Years, which I had the pleasure of writing with him. It was published in 2018 and just features just a treasure trove of letters and letters from Betty to Ron's mom, Goldie, and all kinds of photos of both Betty and Goldie and some other family members of theirs.
So you're going to get a real insider view, insider family member story, a close family member, a member of Betty Page, who he's got these great burlesque costumes that he saved from those days and photographs. Mm-hmm. And so stay tuned for our interview with Ron Brim, Betty Page's nephew.
Hey, everybody, real quick before we start the interview with Ron Brim, if you do not have a copy of Betty Page, The Lost Years yet, you should totally get it. Maybe get it for Valentine's Day for somebody that you love, or maybe throw a hint that somebody you love should get it for you. You can get it from any independent bookstore. They can order it if they don't have it in stock. It'd probably be in a couple of days, or you can also get it from any of the major online retailers. Also, Tori has another book called The Little Book of Betty. Check that one out, too. And hey, while we're talking about Valentine's Day, there's tons of stuff on BettyPage.com in the store that you've got time to get it for your significant other if they're a Betty fan. Or maybe get yourself something. And you know what? While we're at it, if you don't have a copy of Betty Page Reveals All yet, pick it up. I have the Blu-ray and it is excellent. I strongly recommend it, of course. I'm sure you've seen it. If you're watching this, you've seen it. But if you haven't, you owe it to yourself to get it. So here's the interview with Ron. Coming up right now.
Welcome to the official Betty Page podcast, Ron. So happy to have you. And you're obviously a very important special guest.
Oh, since well, thank you so much.
Of course, Betty's nephew.
By
way of being her, the son of her much beloved sister, Goldie, who you and I, of course, wrote about both of those gals in Betty Page, The Lost Years, our book that was published a little over 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Welcome, Ron.
Well, thank you so much. It's very nice to see all of you once again.
And so the last time we were kind of all together in person was in April of last year in Nashville for, of course, the big event that Ben spearheaded and got the historical marker for Betty put up at her former high school, Hume Fogg, and Ron was there. And Ron, I'm just curious, and I know a lot of the fans are probably curious to hear what your thoughts were about that big event and that honor for your aunt.
Well, to be honest, it was an incredible experience, and I can't thank Ben enough for that. I learned some things watching the last podcast, actually, about the fact that Ben basically organized all the funding for the marker purchase, and I really wasn't aware of that. And thank you, Ben. Thank you so much from Betty and the entire family.
Well, that means a lot, and it was just one of those things, like I said last time, that when I realized that's how it was done, I was just like, well, this is become a personal mission now. I'm just going to make it happen. And so like it's had a big yard sale. We had a whole lot of fun and the community really, really supported it. So couldn't have done it without the community.
I know my mom and Betty and my grandma, Betty's mom, mamaw to me actually. And I know they'd all been so proud of that. That's just, and that's the one thing Betty always talked about, was she wanted to be remembered. And that's a great way to do it right there.
Hell of a way to do it, right? Yeah. And speaking of Betty and Goldie and your grandma Edna, we actually have a photo of those three gals from that appeared in Betty Page the Lost Years, and presumably, mm-hmm. and I should remember this in Nashville. I think they're sitting on a porch or something like that.
There are so many photos that that I have, and a lot of them didn't make it into the book, you know. But I think I recall the one. Yeah, you're talking.
There we go.
It. Yeah, there it is.
And yeah. Do you know? Is this like what? Do you know what anything about this house?
No, I don't know about that particular house. I don't recognize that.
So yeah, just, they're all very young here, of course.
Just go very through young. And say who each person is in this picture.
Oh, well, that's an easy one. On the left is my mom, Goldie. And in the middle is my grandma, Edna. And that is Betty on the right.
And what year do you think that is?
Oh, goodness. I don't have a clue. I can tell that it's pretty early from looking at.
They all look young there. Edna looks young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bet it's 1940s.
I was thinking probably 1940 or like right around there, probably.
I would say you're right looking at it. That'd be a very good guess, I would think. Yeah.
It's such a cute shot.
I have some real interesting photos of my grandma in later years. She was a real character, I'll tell you that. When people ask me, well, what was Betty really like? And the first thought that comes into my head is she was a comedian, and along with the rest of the family, too. That was the first order of business when they would all get together, is telling each other the latest jokes they've heard. And my grandma was always the she was a little on the naughty, risque side with her jokes and such. And she had a lot of she was a real character, is all I can say.
Well, and in my film, Betty Page reveals all. When you hear Betty talking, she often has a little laugh after many things she says, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They were a comedic bunch, that's for sure. As a matter of fact, Mark, thank you for doing that film, by the way. I went to see it out here in California. And at the movie theater when it came out, and the drummer in our group and I went and saw it together. And when I saw the interviews with Betty and heard her voice, it literally brought tears to my eyes, because the tone of their voices were so identical. And they used to, my mom would practice telling jokes all the time. And she had tape recorders when I was a kid, and she would sit for a long, long time and just telling all kinds of jokes into the tape recorder. And as a matter of fact, I recently found a large box full of all kinds of cassettes.
Oh, and, I can see another movie or book coming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my mom was a... incredible pack rat, which is a great thing nowadays with this and with Betty's popularity. And she always saved all of those things. And if there's anybody that we could thank for the material from the book, it's certainly her. She kind of had a sense about all that and knew that those things would be valuable someday. It's really interesting how I learned about their modeling career. I knew they were both models when, the family told me a little bit, but they didn't tell me what kind of modeling they did at all. And I didn't really learn that until I was like 19 years old. And oh my goodness, my mom went up into the attic and brought down this box full of all these magazines that she had kept over the years. As a matter of fact, here are some of them.
Wow.
And there are quite a few of them here.
And nice. I have,
well, there's more than this, but I was looking through some of these earlier today, and I bet you there's a bunch of photographs of Betty in there that maybe nobody has seen, because my mom had a reason to keep all those things, you know, and she did. And they, you know, I knew they both modeled when I was young, and they really kind of kept it a secret from me back in the, you know, the 50s and the 60s. It was, times were much more conservative than they are nowadays by a long shot. So they didn't really tell me what type of modeling they were doing and what type of dancing my mom was doing, for that matter, too. As she started modeling with Betty, and they did a lot of shoots together. My mom used to tell me that Betty would always get so mad if the photographer paid any more attention to her than Betty on the shoot and such. And it was just kind of a really neat thing.
Well, you know, Edna, your grandmother, I think you called her Meemaw, was that right?
Mamaw.
Mamaw, okay, sorry.
Yeah, she was Mamaw to me.
Said, you know, Betty says, I think it's in my film, that she hadn't been talking to her mother, Edna, about the modeling, but when one time she found a whole stack of her magazines that Edna had collected. It's stuck in a closet somewhere.
I can believe that, because I'm sure my mom and my grandma talked about that. I know they did. And
I thought it was cool in the lost years. You know, this reminded me of that list, and I didn't send a picture of this to Ben, so we can't show that right now. But that list that your mom kept of all the magazines, and it probably included those that you just showed.
Yeah. Well, for example, here at the top, she's got a little number 31 written there. Ooh. And number 6 in 1954s. Everything was cataloged.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of different list of things that she kept over the years.
Well, that's a woman with vision.
I wanted to just jump in and ask a question.
Sure.
Because there are some pictures of your mom and Betty together in my film. And there's the story that Betty tells when your mom came out to visit her in San Francisco and the sink fell off the wall. Did you know that story before that? And about Betty getting arrested, but apparently it was your mom was the actual cause of the problem.
couple of troublemakers. Well,
that's pretty interesting, Mark. I've heard probably a couple. I remember my mom talking about it, and I did know about a couple different things that happened over the years. From, you know, just hearing my mom telling stories of the two of them living together. But I know they had some landlord troubles over the years. I do know that.
Mark, was that the same story? Is that the one where, did that involve, like, Betty supposedly hitting the landlord or somebody over the head?
Happened was they apparently were, as I remember it, shaving their legs in the sink. And okay. I guess they had their feet up on the sink, or one or both of them, and the sink fell off the wall.
Uh-huh.
And the landlord came in, and he was all mad. And I don't remember all the details, but Betty ended up swatting him upside of the head because I guess he had attacked her or something. And it was the way Betty told it, which is the only version I know at this point, was it was Goldie. Okay. Your mother was the one who caused the sink to fall off the wall, but Betty took the fall because Goldie was not an adult age yet.
Well, they must have both been very young because there was only, 2 years difference, I think?
Yeah, I think it was during the 40s when Betty was married to Billy and he was off in World War II.
I see. Okay. Huh. And you say it was in San Francisco?
Yeah, it was in San Francisco. And I found an article in the newspaper, and that we show that in the film, and there's a picture of the guy with his head bandaged up. And
oh,
Betty,
my goodness. I remember that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I don't remember hearing about it, that particular incident now that I think about it. My mom, one of the things I remember about her being in San Francisco is she was the elevator operator in a big hotel, and she was all excited because she got to meet Hedda Hopper, who was staying in the hotel, and she would give her a ride up and down in the elevator. And she said she was very nice to her.
Aww.
And I remember Betty, she started doing modeling shoots around that time in San Francisco.
From and Hedda Hopper was a big Hollywood press person in the during the golden age of Hollywood in the 1940s and all that. Very well known in those days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had crazy hats she wore all the time.
Right.
And she was known for that as well. That's right.
So your mom was actually at work. So that was when she was out there with Betty that she had a job. Like, she was actually working at that time in San Francisco?
Was Betty working at that time?
No, I was wondering if your mom was out there with Betty at that time that you were talking about when she was operating the elevator.
Yeah, they were both there, yeah.
Well, in fact, they were roommates, right?
Yeah, they shared an apartment together, as I recall, or a house or something there. Yeah, they did that a couple different times. They were in New York together too.
Yeah, and you had mentioned a little bit ago about the type of dancing that your mom did, and I always think that's such a sort of very interesting and sort of an ironic little tidbit about her because. You know, as we know, like Betty is such an inspiration to lots of burlesque dancers, and but Betty never actually did burlesque, but Goldie did.
Oh, yes, she did, and the two of them, as we know, Betty made her own costumes. Well, certainly my mom did also, and on some of the early modeling shoots that the two of them did together, they would swap costumes, and I have some pictures. Betty had a kind of it was red with big white polka dots, bikini and a top with that. And I have some photos with my mom wearing that same one. They would swap back and forth. And they were actually very good at making these costumes. As a matter of fact, my mom kept a very large trunk full of all those costumes that she had made. And I don't know if any of them were Betty's or not, to be honest with you. And, for example, I went through some of them earlier today.
Nice.
And, I wanted to share some of that with you, but these are kind of interesting, but they're extremely old and very, lots of sequins and flashy things here.
Wow.
But this is a red satin deal. And this is some of the burlesque costumes that my mom.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you can figure out what these may be. And,
just in time for Valentine's Day, y'all.
Yes, just in time for Valentine's Day. Exactly. But
I love that.
It's interesting when you look at this, and I've seen Betty wearing some things along like this.
Yeah,
I wonder if it. You don't. I don't know.
Or if they like use the same pattern, or like one copied the other, or they came up with the idea together. That's right. Really interesting.
But when I look at the workmanship on these, it's amazingly good.
It's incredible. And probably 75 years old at least by now.
Definitely early 50s. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's interesting that you got a whole trunk of those things. I mean, those are pretty valuable. Betty had a trunk of her costumes that she had in a storage unit in New Jersey. And when she fell on hard times, I guess she couldn't keep up the payments and it got sold somehow.
Oh, this is kind of interesting. When I was holding this up and looking at it and looking at the size of it, this kind of shows you they were fairly petite ladies, in at least in
that's in a top
certain places. Yes, this is a top that from that, and there's a skirt here for it too. That
wow,
And
I see a virtual show, a virtual showcase in the near future.
Burlesque museum worth of material right here. That's for sure. And this is some sort of very thin and see-through dress that we may have used a shot of my mom wearing this.
I can picture it right now. Yep.
Yeah. But I just wanted to share some of those.
Thank you. Yeah, because I've never even seen those because I don't think you had like kind of cracked into that.
There's so much stuff. Yeah, there's so many things she kept.
Well, that has to be like exciting but overwhelming to have it is all overwhelming. These potential treasure troves around.
It is, and it's an amazing thing when we found all the photos that we ended up using in the book, and it's funny, some of the photos that made it into the book were actually printed from negatives, so I was able to get pretty good copies of them, and but the publisher decided to add a vintage touch to all the photos in the book, but it's kind of amazing to see what some of the photos actually really looked like. And here's an example. I don't know if anyone can see this or not.
Yeah, just hold it up closer to the camera as you can.
Yeah, from that amazing series of those two at Coney Island.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ones here.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. In the book, they weren't quite as clear as they are.
Oh no.
In your versions.
One of the things that's great is the little kid's expression in the background. On this.
Yeah.
Well, that's great that they had these blown up and printed. I mean, that's
great. That was something I did.
Oh, okay. And,
I did that. And but this is another one that was in the book.
I love that one.
Yeah, there's another one or two. And this one.
That is
kind
so sweet.
Kind of
so affectionate.
Sweet.
I love that.
And there's one last one.
Yes. And we still don't know who the photographer was.
No.
For that series.
No, I'm afraid I don't. On those, I don't know.
It was clearly kind of a more casual shoot, so didn't seem like it was like a camera club situation, but who knows?
Yeah, that's a tough call. The book, The Lost Years, was based on all of these cards and letters that were written between my mom and Betty. And it's quite interesting seeing there's some of the envelopes and such.
Can you hold it up closer to the camera there, Ron?
Yeah, if I can here.
Oh, yeah. Here you go,
But these are... there's a card. I believe that one made it into the book, but there's a lot of stuff here. It was interesting, as a lot of folks know, Betty was into keeping up her typing skills throughout her career there after modeling, and a lot of the letters were typewritten. Here's an example.
I think one of those was like 13 pages long. Yeah, or something
they're
like that.
18 pages or something. It's just incredible. And here's some, here's a Christmas card. Dear Gloria, love your sis, Betty. You know, and it's very cool. And here's some of Betty's addresses from, this was in Santa Monica, California.
What year was that?
Let's see. That was 1981. It says postmark. Okay. And a lot of the envelopes are interesting too. We didn't use any of that stuff in the book, but yet here it is. And
love the little retro Christmas cards and stuff.
Yeah.
Betty was big on sending Christmas cards. I don't know if your mother was, but I got Christmas cards for a number of years from Betty that I saved.
Yeah, absolutely.
How cool is that? Wow.
Yeah, here's another one. My mom dated this one Dear Gloria, love Betty, December 19th, 1994. And now this is a crazy letter here, because this was a fan. Betty wrote a letter to her fans, but then sent the copy of it to my mom, but wrote an additional letter alongside of it here, as you can see. So that's kind of neat.
So was that in 94? I mean, that's when people were discovering Betty.
Well, you know what? This is, I don't know if this, it's a 7. Okay, it's 1997. Right. And Betty's address was on Chatsworth Street in Granada Hills. That's probably where you went, Mark.
That's where I first met Betty, yes.
Yeah, yeah, I bet it is, yeah. It was near Balboa.
And, so what did that place look like? Was it just like a little house or a duplex? Or?
It's a brick apartment building, as I recall. Okay. Is that what you remember?
Well, at Granada Hills, when I saw Betty, it was a house.
Oh, okay.
But they had several people living there.
Yes, yes.
It was like roommates. So it was like that, but it was a house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, here's one addressed to me. Mr. Ronnie Brim, care of Gloria Brim. Yeah, and that was Chatsworth as well. And that's from the year 2000. But
I just want to thank you and your family for saving all that stuff. Because right. I'll tell you right now, I don't save anything. And I don't even have pictures of myself from my college years. Oh. Like they've just disappeared. So the fact that your family, and then of course you're going to save all the stuff, that's amazing. Yeah. Because there's stuff just gets tossed like crazy, especially everything seems disposable these days. You know, like everybody's taking digital pictures and they're gone. But right. you have all of those pictures and you saved them and preserved them. That's amazing, especially for us fans.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's incredible, too, that just throughout the years and decades, then we all know, you know, so many of the hardships that Betty went through. And yet she always kept in touch with Goldie. It's just so super sweet. And just really shows how much they loved each other.
Yeah.
How often did your mother and Betty talk, Ron? Like in the later years, did they talk on the phone?
No,
routinely.
Not on the phone. They didn't. They were very old school on that end of things, and it was always everything was done in letters.
And as we know, letters are obsolete now.
Snail, no more snail mail. Yeah.
So if anybody listening doesn't know what a letter is.
Apparently cursive handwriting is obsolete.
Yes, I know. I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's true.
I had to write a check the other day, and that's the first time I'd picked up a pen in a while. It's like, wow, what's this? How do I do this? What are words, you know?
It's always funny to me when you ask certain young people if there's an analog clock on the wall. Hey, what time is it? I don't know. You know,
just go shoving it in people's faces. What time is it? Quick.
But,
do you think your mom would be proud of the book?
I know she would. I'm certain of it.
Yeah.
That was the whole reason that she saved all these things. And you know, she talked about, well, you're going to want to do something with these someday. And, you know, back when Tori and I met, shortly before that, I ended up getting an appointment with Betty's former agent and went and had a talk with him about some of the materials that my mom had saved over the years. And I mentioned to him that, you know, well, there's so much material here, you know, there's a possibility of doing a book or a documentary or something, you know. And as soon as I talked about the book, a couple of the folks in the office there whispered between themselves and said, yeah, we need to hook you up with Tori Rodriguez. And that was the first time I heard your name, was at that meeting. And then, fortunately, just a few months later, we both attended the Viva Las Vegas show.
Yep.
And I believe it was 2016. Is that correct?
I think so, too. I was trying to remember that earlier, and I'm pretty sure it was.
And I remember I was very excited about meeting you and thinking, you know, and we talked about some of this stuff that my mom had saved, and it was really exciting to think that maybe we could put something together.
Yeah, that was definitely synchronicity. And being shown those photos for the first time that you had, I think, did you have like printed copies with you there at Viva? I think you did.
I probably did. I think I certainly did have printed photos by that time. Yeah.
Yeah. And so seeing those in person for the first time just blew me away. And then of course, you know, I flew out to California so that we could kind of explore the material more. Yeah. And that was also an incredible honor. And just, we had a lot of fun too. Just outside of the book stuff, we got to ride in Ron's Corvette down the Pacific Coast Highway. So that was fun. So, but we've talked before about this, but do you still like have a desire to sort of highlight your mom and focus more on your mom in some sort of way, like a future project? I think people would definitely want to know more about Goldie.
If anyone's interested, absolutely yes. And I have so much material on my mom, Goldie. It's incredible. I just have a massive amount of photographs and such. The entire time I was growing up, I was the kid holding the camera with all the flash bulbs and doing a lot of shots. And I learned to learned to take pictures at a very early age there. And there weren't too many of these old-fashioned photo booths that we could walk past without my mom wanting to stop and take photographs and such. And
so you have a million of those with your mom, don't you?
I have some from back in the 50s here. I have books of these.
Wow. Oh, those are cool. That'd be a cool wallpaper.
Yeah. But there are lots and lots of photographs.
And your mom herself was a gifted artist and a great photographer. And she the photo that that Ben just showed on the screen a second ago of Goldie, it was actually a black and white photo, wasn't it, Ron, initially? And she hand colored it like she did a lot of
photos. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I saw those colors just earlier, the very ones that were used on that photograph. She did a lot of, she started doing pastels and ended up doing a lot of oil paintings later in life, and was a member of different artist guilds in the St. Louis area, and even taught painting lessons and owned an art gallery at one time.
So cool.
And she would do all kinds of little things. She'd make these little flip books and things where people would dance.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know if you can see that or not. But no, probably
can't really see the inside. I can just see the cover.
Yeah, you can't see it. But that's
very creative.
Yeah, she did all kinds of things like that.
That's cool. So to our listeners and viewers, definitely comment in general, but also let us know your interest in learning more about Goldie potentially in some sort of future project, since Ron has so much overflowing material.
Well, yes, that's an understatement.
Speaking of future projects, is there one in particular that you're able to talk about, or we're not ready for that yet?
We're unfortunately not. Okay.
I guess we'll just have to be
teased. Let's keep the mystery going.
Right. That's the answer to that.
Yeah. It's going to be an ongoing tease, the longest tease of your life.
It could be. I hope something comes of it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We know nothing at this point in time.
Right. So anything else in the plans for the future, Ron, with anything like in terms of, you know, honoring your mother or getting into more Betty stuff? I know you had talked about some musical projects that might tie into that.
Well, Well, that I am working on occasionally here. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, sure am. Yeah, my mom wrote a lot of lyrics. She was also very much a poet, and she certainly knew it. And she would, with me being a musician, since I was a little kid, she always wanted to help me with everything involving that. And she took up writing song lyrics. And those particular, and I have several books full of, pretty thick books full of song lyrics that she's written. And some of them, would lend themselves well to rockabilly and surf type songs, nice. Of that nature, which a lot of Betty's fan base is certainly into mm-hmm. that particular genre.
How cool is that? Lyrics by Goldie Page, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here, Ron, and say I would be a huge fan of that.
Oh, okay.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Well, very, very cool. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and in fact, in Betty Page Reveals All, we use surf music and rockabilly music is basically the main music in that film. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's a group in Nashville. I'm just going to throw this off the top of my head. The two surf songs that I use in Betty Page Reveals All, they're instrumentals.
Yeah.
From a group that's based in Nashville. So maybe they need lyrics for some of those.
Well, that could be. Yeah, that could be. I being a musician myself, I certainly have. I started life as a drummer and play guitar and bass and all kinds of keys and all kinds of stuff. So I'm kind of a one man band there at times if need be. And so I definitely want to do some stuff with
the group I'm talking about is Los Straitjackets.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I know them well.
If I were you, I would just get some of their songs out and see if her lyrics can fit to any of those. And
you can make anything can fit to anything.
It's funny you say that. They have collaborated with songwriters before, and people have put lyrics to their songs. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. They've done it with several acts or several musicians. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's too out there. I think that could work.
There's a friend of mine, Dickerson, that is into the rockabilly world there too. And he's done a few projects.
Well, he's pretty big in the rockabilly world, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. You're so modest. And Ron, I'm going to embarrass Ron right now because Ron is so modest. But he can literally do, like he was just saying, he's like a one-man band. He's like a one-man everything. Like, he can literally do anything. He can, build anything from scratch. He, works on airplanes and just does all kinds of stuff that I can't even, list. Man. He's super talented.
And as a musician, Ron, it must have been pretty cool the first time you heard the BR5. I believe it was BR5 49 that did the song Betty Betty. Yes. What was that like the first time you heard it?
To be honest, Ben, everything about Betty's resurgence and popularity, or I guess you could call it a resurgence, but everything about that is so surreal to me. The first time I went to Viva Las Vegas, for example, I'm walking through the crowd in there, and nobody knows who I am. I'm a nobody, and I'm just walking around looking at all of the ladies all dressed up like my aunt, and it's blowing my mind, to be honest with you. I just couldn't believe it, and they've all got the bangs, known as Betty bangs now. Mm-hmm. And I was just in shock. I literally had no idea that Betty really didn't know, and neither did my mom. It's funny, when I first started realizing how popular Betty had become, I saw the Rocketeer movie myself too. And by the way, I like the backpack in the background there, Ben. That's great.
I have the jetpack right here. I don't know if you can see the top of it.
In case you need to escape during this podcast.
That's right. It works.
That's very cool. But I did see the Rocketeer movie. But the first time I knew something was up is I was late at night. I was watching I think it was E! Entertainment or something like that. And Robin Leach was on the program doing a special about Betty.
Right.
And I just couldn't believe it. And I was watching that program. And the next thing I know, there's a photograph of me and my dad and Betty all walking across the street together one time.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just surreal. And I ended up videotaping that performance and taking it over to my mom in the next few weeks and showing it to her. And she practically wore that tape out watching it. She was really, really proud of that.
Well, you know, I think Robin Leach may have been the first one to do a television segment about Betty. She had been in The Rocketeer and been in the Betty Pages and in the comic books. And that was in the early 90s, I think, when that happened.
I believe you're right.
So you just happened to see that? Like, it was just, you were just watching TV and that came on?
Yeah, it was on late one night after, along with the late show or something like that.
And you said you saw a picture of you, were you a kid?
Yeah, I was a little boy. Probably holding Betty's hand walking across the street and probably in either Nashville or St. Louis. I'm not really sure.
And we actually have Ben, one of the photos I sent you that appeared in the Lost Years too was the color photo of Ron when he was a little boy and he's with Betty
right
and his mom Goldie and his grandma Edna. I love that shot. Mm-hmm. This shot always makes me think of Easter and Mother's Day. Looks like such a holiday shot.
Yeah, that shot is of the corner of the house I grew up in. That's the kitchen window right behind us all there. Ooh. And complete with asbestos shingles, as I recall. And but you can see some of the petunias and the incredible amount of petunias that my mom had grown. She really liked flowers, and she had a very, very nice flower garden out in the backyard. But there are several shots that we took that day. That's, I believe, the very first time that I ever met my grandma and Betty in my entire life. I was very young there. I think that might be 1961. And they were, Betty was living in Nashville with my grandma there. And they rode the Greyhound bus up to our house in Southern Illinois. And they stayed with us there. And we ended up going over to the St. Louis Zoo and seeing, you know, doing some sightseeing. But I remember Betty being so nice to me. And she held my hand as we walked through the zoo together. And she was really, really very, very nice to me. And I remember my mom asking me when I was a little boy there, "Don't you think Betty's really pretty?" And I said, "Oh yeah, you know." And she was very pretty, and you know, when as I recall, and they always called me Ronnie. The entire family did, and so I was Ronnie to everyone. But she would. I remember Betty saying that, "Ronnie, he's a really good kid." I remember her saying that about me, and that made me feel good.
That's sweet. That's, and she was always fond of you. She always mentioned you in her letters, and
she
sent her regards and would ask about you and all that.
Yeah. Later, at one time, after she had retired from modeling and such, there she worked at a company and ended up sending me an entire set of encyclopedias as a gift when I was a little child. And I kept those and used those throughout and learned a lot of stuff from those. And And those were always very dear to me, and they were a gift from Betty.
Do you still have those?
I wish I did. I don't.
I'm sure Betty was especially fond of you, Ron, because she always wanted her own children and never had them. So I'm sure she directed some of that towards you.
Yeah, that may be. I have very good memories of Betty. She was a great aunt.
So you remember that visit, like we just saw that photo a minute ago. You remember that pretty vividly.
Oh, absolutely. You bet I do. That's one thing about me. I have a very good memory, or at least I hope so. I think I do. And but seeing photographs like that helps jog a person's memory, I do believe. And it makes me think back on those times, and it kind of brings it all back. One of the things about that particular picture, there were several that we took that day. And remember, I was mentioned all the petunias that my mom had grown, and she had the entire driveway lined with petunias on each side there. And I remember Betty and I in one of the photos. It was hilarious. We were both kneeling down, and we're very near those petunias. And I remember both of us were just sneezing and everything, and we both had really funny looks on our faces in one of the photos.
I remember that one, and also see kind of Betty's silliness, because she was super silly, which I think a lot of the fans realize too that there's even in some of her actual modeling photos, she's doing silly stuff, but especially in the rare Camden shot,
she was a comedian, absolutely she was.
Wow, so they were just natural entertainers.
Yeah, she was having fun with all those photo shoots and things. The stuff, a lot of people think she was so serious about all that stuff. She really wasn't. It was all in fun.
Well, that comes through in her photographs.
Yeah.
People say that. Like, they love that she didn't take herself too seriously. She's a good role model in that way, and many other ways too.
Ron, did you say earlier that? I believe you said you were around 19 when you realized that your aunt was very famous. Was that what you said earlier?
No, that I didn't know she was famous at that time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not even sure that Betty really was all that famous back in the 50s.
Okay.
But she worked so much as a model. Some people claim she was the most photographed model, you know, certainly pinup of all time back then, and she just worked so much, and nobody really knew, at least when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, we didn't know about her then. And it really wasn't till the Rocketeer movie came out that people started, "You mean there's a real person that looks like that?" You know?
Yeah.
And things kind of took off from there, and it's just snowballed since then.
So it wasn't until the 80s or early 90s that you yourself, that's when it really hit you, like, oh, wow. Like, this is somebody that's touched a lot of people's lives and has a huge work of, you know, portfolio.
Yeah. Like I was saying, when I saw that on the E! Entertainment Network show with Robin Leach, that was really kind of the first time that I was thinking, wow, a lot of people have heard of Betty, you know, and a lot of people know of her.
The thing about it, you see, in the 50s, you couldn't go past a newsstand without seeing Betty's photograph. Now, these were, it wasn't Life magazine, it wasn't Time magazine, it was these little pulp magazines, right? Sort of male-oriented magazines.
Yes, yeah. like these, yeah.
And right. And once Betty retired walked away in 1958, there was really no public focus on her at all. And it wasn't till the late 70s, Private Peaks came out, and then Dave Stevens with the Rocketeer comic book in the 80s. And it was all of that that really,
this book. As a matter of fact, this particular book, when it came out, Betty was so proud of this, of being in this book, that she sent this this very one to my mom, and wrote a little inscription in the front of it here. That's kind of really neat.
Would you read it to us?
Yeah, I sure will. But that's it. It says, "To Gloria, you will always be Goldie to me. The best of everything to you always. Love, Betty."
Nice.
So sweet. Yeah.
Well, you know, it was. I saw my lawyer, my entertainment lawyer in Los Angeles, showed me a pre-publication copy of that book. And it was, I think it was in early 1996. And that's when I decided I wanted to go ahead and make the documentary about Betty.
Oh, so you saw that book?
I saw before it was published.
Ah, okay.
And in fact, I went and shot some of the scenes you see in Betty Page Reveals All is the publication release party that we shot in New York City.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's very when cool. They all gather around the phone and you hear Betty's voice.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's so cool.
Wow.
And I love that inscription because it's so funny because in our book, you know, Betty's letters to Goldie, like throughout the decades, she, mm-hmm. you know, because your mom had changed her name. Did she legally
to
change
Goldie.
Her name?
She did legally change it to Gloria. It's funny. She, you know, when she was born, apparently she had gold hair, but then it was black as coal, just like Betty's wife. and she always thought that, you know, she didn't really like the name Goldie. I don't know why, but she ended up legally changing it. I forget the exact year. It was around 57 or so, I think.
And so then throughout the subsequent decades, every time, you see Betty going back and forth and she keeps calling her Goldie and then she's like, oh, sorry. And then she's like, I just can't get used to this thing. And then she calls her Gloria a few times. And then finally we see the inscription in that book and she's like, you'll always be Goldie to me. But calls her Gloria though.
Ron, yeah. I just put up a photo that Tori sent me earlier. This is a great picture right here of your mother.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that's of a photo shoot that I've got a whole bunch more of those actually of different poses from that shoot. But yeah, that was
this is one of your mom's selfie sessions, probably, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
And tell us about that because that's a cool little story.
It's not a selfie, actually. This isn't. This was part of a shoot that was done. In some of the photos, you can see that it's in a studio. You can see some Fresnels and things on stands here and there. But my mom certainly did do a bunch of selfies before it was a thing, you know, and long before, you know, smartphones and the ability to do that. And she was so creative like that. She had an old Brownie camera, Kodak Brownie camera, which I still have. It's in the next room in there, along with some of the other memorabilia. But she would tie a string, like a kite string, on that and have it rigged up on a table or stand or something in the room and would, you know, arrange that string in a way to where she could stand and pose and pull the string and pull the shutter on the camera.
So
it was a DIY selfie with a string, like a kite string.
The things they had to do back in the day.
Apparently. And then after I was old enough, why I was elected. So I was like, come here. And, you know. So I learned to shoot some photos then.
Ron, I have another picture I'm going to bring up real quick. And sure. I would like for you to tell us about this one that Tori sent me. 1 second. It should be showing up right now. I believe that's your aunt and your mother in front of the Parthenon in Nashville.
It sure is. Yeah. That is my Uncle Jack. Or is that... No, you know what? I take it back. That's Jimmy on the left. That's my Uncle Jimmy Page. Different Jimmy Page. But
not from Zeppelin.
Right. And then Betty and my mom, and that is my Uncle Jack, who was also in the Navy later. I'm not sure if they were in the Navy at the same time, but that's my Uncle Jack. I believe he was a little younger, if I'm not mistaken. But that's in front of the Parthenon in
Christmas
Nashville.
Christmas time.
Yeah, that's exactly where that is.
And Jimmy was a bit of a model himself at one point, wasn't he? Or at least kind of like we have him in kind of like a modeling pose in one of the photos that you
I
sent
think
me.
All those kids posed right and left all the time when they were when they were kids. They all were big ham bones, I think.
They knew they were cute.
Yeah. I don't know that Jimmy did any modeling, but Jimmy was PE teacher at one time in his life, and he was always super into physical fitness. Every time he would run into me, he was telling me, well, you need to do this and work out like this and do this and that. Well, it didn't work, but anyway. But yeah, he was.
So he shared that with Betty. They both had a big interest in physical fitness.
Yeah, they did.
Which wasn't super common back then, of course.
No, but he was, Jimmy was certainly into physical education and keeping in shape for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, Ron, I got a question, and sure. I hope it's okay to ask this, but it's been on my mind. Talking about your uncles and, of course, your Aunt Betty, and I'm assuming you saw the Notorious Betty Page movie, the feature film that came out.
I did.
What was it like seeing, you know, pretty well-known independent actors and actresses play your whole family? Like, that must have been... I asked you earlier what it was like to hear a song about your aunt, but, I mean, what about this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and playing your mother, and that's just had to be really bizarre.
There's an understatement, Ben, right there, of all time. The first time I saw that was on, like, HBO or something years ago, and... that was really a trip seeing that. I just couldn't even believe it. And seeing them, you know, these actors and actresses playing my mom and my aunt and my grandma and my grandpa all sitting around the kitchen table. And I'm like, my gosh, I couldn't even believe it. It was just a surreal experience. And the same with like the BR 549 song. Actually, before I'm not sure I heard that when it first came out, but I heard it later when I started just doing some, you know, searches on YouTube and things like that for Betty, and then several songs would come up, and I've heard all kinds of people doing songs about her now, and it's kind of blowing my mind. I just couldn't believe it, you know.
Yeah, you probably know. I know when I was researching the film, I found more than 100 songs about Betty Page.
Yeah, damn. Exactly. Well, I'm going to add some to it, but
please do. That'd be awesome. And like one of the most recent ones, and it's not even that recent now, but like the one that I'm thinking of is, you know, Johnny Rotten.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Lydon. Is
yes,
that his actual
John
name?
Lydon, yes.
Did a Betty song, and
really?
he was talking in interviews about what inspiration she is to him, and I thought that was a trip too.
I know.
That's awesome. I didn't hear about that. I'm going to have to look that up.
I know. Yeah, for sure.
I know David Lee Roth from Van Halen was kind of a fan of Betty's image for sure too. And I think he may have used... I
hadn't heard about that one.
He may have used pictures of her on some album or something. I don't know exactly all the details.
But cool.
Yeah, there's her popularity has just been an incredible experience, just seeing it, and I'm sure I don't really, you know, I get the impression I'm kind of scratching, you know, just at the tip of the iceberg with it. And I know she's very popular in the entire rest of the world. Aside from the U.S., you know, it's an amazing thing.
Well, you know, in making the film, before the film was out, I was running a fundraising campaign, and I got donations from 26 countries.
Wow.
Damn.
Raised $100,000.
Oh my.
From 26 countries to get Betty Page reveals all made.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Wow. I wonder, Mark, do you know off the top of your head, like, a few of the countries where she's particularly popular? I know, like, the UK is a big one.
Yes.
And, like, Australia is a big one, too.
Yes, and I think in Europe, and in fact, the film was licensed twice in France and Germany and Italy and Spain. Wow. So I know she's big in Europe. Also in Latin America, which I think is a more recent development. Hmm. I know a lot of the traffic we had from the Red website was from Mexico.
Same on Betty Page Fitness.
Brazilian TV ran the film. And the film is out there really still. I mean, I saw where it recently was played in India.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So she's worldwide. And as we're talking about this, I'm thinking about how, like, especially nice to have a famous relative who just everybody just universally loves, right? They're not coming up going, "We hate your aunt." You know, it's always like, "We love Betty."
I know. I'm still always amazed when I see people with Betty tattoos and things. It's just crazy to me. That's my aunt.
That has to be crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk? You know?
I know, it's funny. Like, I want each of the listeners to imagine right now, like, think about your aunt or uncle and, like, imagine going around, all of a sudden there's a bunch of people that look like like them.
Yeah.
And then you see somebody, you know, a bunch of people with your aunt or uncle tattooed on their arms.
I know.
Ron, I'm going to bring up one more picture here that Tori sent. Yeah. And is this Goldie with Betty Bangs?
No, that's actually, it is Sharon. That's Betty herself.
That's Betty. Okay.
I believe.
But I can see why you would think that, though. Yeah, they look so much alike.
They do look so much alike.
Yeah, in some of the shots of them, I can tell them apart, but at first glance, sometimes it'll catch me off guard a little bit, and I'll have to think, is that her or is this, you know? But I believe that was in Miami, that photograph, as I recall.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
So they must have taken a trip. Would they take a trip there together, or was one of them there and the other visited? Because I know
Betty was living with Harry Lear in Miami. Well, I guess that would have been later than that photo.
That would have been later.
Yeah.
I always remember when I was a kid. Betty would write letters to me, and I would write to her too. And I always remember when I would write to her when I was a kid, they're writing, you know, Betty Page, care of Harry Lear at that address in Fort Lauderdale, I believe it was.
Right.
Yeah. But I do remember that quite a bit. But yeah, I believe you're right, Mark. I think that would have been quite a bit earlier.
Right.
Do y'all have any more questions for Ron?
Well, I don't, but it's been super fun going through all of these and reminiscing about all this, Ron.
Well, thank you. I hope.
Thank you so much for sharing your family history and photos and giving us that sneak peek of the upcoming burlesque costume exhibit. No, I'm just kidding.
Hard to say.
I'm going to be pushing for that one.
You could open a museum, you know.
Yeah. Oh gosh!
But you definitely want some more stuff to do, don't you? You're not busy enough already,
right?
You know, it was good to see you again, Ron. But it was really good meeting you back in Nashville. And I want to share a moment that I saw right when you first showed up. Uh-huh. It's like we automatically kind of we knew each other somehow. Like, it was kind of weird.
That's,
like,
that's what it was like for me too, as well.
But I saw you take a moment and just walk up to the Hume Fog High School and just kind of look, you know, you stood there and you put your hand on it and you just took a deep breath. And that was a really cool thing to see. Cause I mean, there's not many buildings, especially in Nashville, that's still around from that age, from that era. And to have one that your mother graduated from and your aunt graduated from, it's got to be a special place to visit.
That's exactly what you're 100% right, Ben. And that's exactly why I did that. It was kind of overwhelming when I was there because I'd been to Nashville a lot of times, you know, over the years when we'd go for family visits and such. But when I was there and with the marker dedication and everything, I went up there and I just had to touch the building. And I was thinking to myself, this is where my mom went to high school and where Betty went to high school and Jack and Jimmy and, you know, Billy.
And you showed me and a few friends some really cool pictures on you had on your cell phone of the family in front of the school. And it was just really cool.
Yeah, I still have my mom's high school ring from that high school. She wore that her entire life, and it was so worn, but, you know, most of the markings were worn off of it. But she was very proud of that Hume Fogg High School ring, and she always wore that, and I still have it. Yeah,
that's really cool.
Well, I would love it if we could figure out a way to get to back into Nashville this year again for Betty's birthday. That would be great.
Yeah, me too. That'd be all for
that. That'd be super fun. Well, we better start planning it now.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Good call.
Yeah, can you believe it's almost February already? Yeah, February 2024 at that.
I know. What's going on with that?
It's crazy. So if we do end up doing that, that sort of anniversary celebration from the historical marker ceremony, then we hope to see lots of our listeners and viewers there. And absolutely, again, send us comments or messages and all that good stuff and let us know if you would be up for attending.
That sounds great.
It could be a party.
Oh, we'll have to make several parties.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's true. Yeah.
And we won't make you be in charge of all of them this time, Ben.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that took a little time off my life just because I'm not a very good organizer.
You're probably still not recovered from that.
That's not true. You did an outstanding job.
Yeah, you're an excellent organizer.
It was really fun.
There was lots of people last year, so I'm sure some of those people would love to help do something this year.
That's right.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, thank you again, Ron. It's such a pleasure and honor speaking with you as always.
Yeah. Come on.
Thanks, Ron. Well, great fun, Ron. Thank you.
You're all very welcome, and it was a real pleasure for me. Absolutely. Thank you so much.